and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
How about that?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count, and Foreman is as poised as can be.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If you get through this dragnet, it's as slippery as a nail in a barrel full of oil.
Pedro Fernandez.
Works for me.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the multi-billion dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California for another edition of Check It, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 35, 36, and I'll make that 37 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Welcome to Ring Talk. My name is Pedro Fernandez. For the next hour, this is the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a one-hour show. For the next hour, we'll talk boxing, MMA live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms, including Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Straight up, we're doing video and audio live from the studios here in the city by the bay. My guest will be in a few minutes. Boxing's only PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. Of course, what a weekend of boxing. Boxing on ESPN, boxing on DAZN, boxing on Showtime pay-per-view. Straight up, four big cards today. We'll talk about that in depth. And, of course, the UFC rocking and rolling as well. And last week, Khabib, the world UFC lightweight champion, the guy, of course, that mauls everybody to death. He has retired at 29-0, allegedly. Bottom line is he's looking for a big money fight, and there's really not too many big money fights out there unless he can lure GSP, Georges St-Pierre, out of retirement. Outside of that, Khabib's probably done in the world of mixed martial arts. Hey, you are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Get this. The guilt-free, no commitment text line. The number, 415-275-1613. Text us here in the studio, 415-275-1613. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but hey, you know that.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Eric,
and you're higher than a kite.
Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing. MMA, of course, 12 minutes past the hour. The boxing schedule is full tonight. Of course, DAZN is going to come to you from the UK, Chisora and Oleg Usyk in a heavyweight battle. Of course, that's probably the closest card on the weekend. When you look down the odds here, it doesn't look all that good as far as competitiveness are concerned. So we bring in boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Socrates Palmer. And Socrates, big weekend of boxing. Is all quantity and no quality?
No, you know what? I wouldn't say that. I mean, you're getting to see maybe the second best heavyweight in the world in a little bit, in Alexander Usyk. Javante Davis, who's probably the second best lightweight right now. So it depends what you're looking for. In terms of competitive fights, you probably have to lean towards the favorites. I don't see any upsets happening between either the two highly expected fights. But you get to see their talents showcased, and you know, hopefully it sets up for bigger fights down the road in 2021.
But should you have to pay $80 to watch the closest fight on the card is 7-1? Should you have to pay $75 to watch a card where the co-main event is a 21-1 fight?
Yeah, no, that's a very big disservice to the fight fans, especially after watching Lomachenko and Lopez
for free
regular cable, yeah, on basic cable. So no, it's a joke. Javante Davis, for as good as he is, I don't believe he has that crossover appeal to be a pay-per-view superstar. But that's how they're trying to promote him. You know, they're trying to push the narrative that he's the highest paid lightweight, he's a pay-per-view star, and you know, I guess at the end of the day, the numbers will tell.
You know, isn't he a superstar like in his own mind?
He's a star. You know, he is definitely being geared to follow in the footsteps of his mentor, Floyd Mayweather. I guess he's going to try to embrace to wear the black hat, but I don't think he's too comfortable in front of a camera or in terms of, just things that come out of his mouth. I think he's a pretty shy guy. And, so I don't know if he's going to have that charisma. His charisma is how he fights. Mm-hmm. You know, when he's on his game, he's a spectacular fighter. We didn't see that the last time when he fought a long in the tooth, the Georgios Gamboa. Man. He's fighting a puffed up bantamweight. You expect him to take him out. If he doesn't, then it leaves a lot of room for critics like me to poke holes in his game and say, hey, you know, he's not going to be anywhere near Teofimo Lopez if they ever meet.
Okay. The Tank, 23-0, 22 whack, 7-1 over Leo Santa Cruz, 37-1-1, 19 KOs. Leo Santa Cruz is the taller of the guy, but he's not the stronger of the two, is he?
No, I wouldn't expect him to be, no. He's, like I said, he's someone who burst on the scene at 118 pounds, you know, and,
wow.
Very few guys, you know, really mature and bring with them power. He's never a big puncher. You know, he's a guy that just overwhelms you with work rate. He's got a good chin. And he's very fundamentally sound. And he fights with a lot of heart. You know, he has a good career up until this point, but those smaller guys tend to get older quick. You know, guys like Manny Pacquiao, they don't come every year. It's not a common thing to have a guy just skyrocket from 118 and all the way through. So it's going to be a tall task for the taller fighter, Santa Cruz, to be competitive tonight.
One of my adages for a long time is that size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. Is this going to be a battle of, is this going to boil down to size, you think?
I think it'll come down to speed and punching power. I think that obviously that you would probably expect Santa Cruz to fight at a distance and try to frustrate, Tank. Maybe
run.
Take him past the sixth or seventh round with, Davis has shown to be a little bit ordinary. You know, he's a fast starter. I don't think that, the long game, the shorter the fight goes, the more in the favor it is for Davis. I just don't think that he'll be able to keep Davis off of him, you know, on a consistent basis. I mean, Carl Frampton fought a perfect fight against him the first time, you know, and Frampton is nowhere near the puncher that Tank Davis is. So I think it's going to be a tough test.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer on the line from the Bronx. You know, I looked at him at the weigh-in yesterday. He was starving. Oh my God. And you know what? I can relate to that. I mean, I was looking at him saying to myself, I know he just wants to run off that stage and go grab some water. And you know, I mean, he just leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely is one of those guys that balloons up in weight, and come tonight, he'll probably be, close to a welterweight. You know, and that's going to be bad news for Santa Cruz, I think.
Yeah. Regis Progress going to bounce back after a loss to the young man from the UK, 24-1 now, taking on Juan Geraldes, 15-1. He's a 15-1 favorite. Barrios is a 21-1 favorite. Beat a guy named Ryan Carl in the co-main event. Back to this. Closest fight on a pay-per-view card is 7-1. Man, Al Haymon should go to, he should be arrested.
Yeah, or the people that actually ordered it.
Well, somehow you and I are going to watch this, though. So somehow we're going to end up contributing something. So Al Haymon is going to get a buck some way tonight.
Yeah, you know, I'll find that hole in the fence that I could, you know, peek through and catch these fights.
You know, that's how Don King invented pay-per-view, you know, in Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah, Cleveland Indians. He was selling, you know, scalper tickets out there for the Cleveland baseball team. He went and punch a hole in the wall and let them watch the hole. Pay-per-view.
The man was an innovator.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, straight up, tonight's fights don't look all that great, competitive. Jaime Munguia took out a guy last night, or was a winner of a guy by the name of Terreno Johnson. Not too impressed with that. We got a beast on ESPN tonight, though. Nanoa Inoue going to take on Jason Maloney. Maloney's got a good record, 21-1, 18 KOs. Inouye is a 10-1 favorite.
Yeah. You know, I almost forgot. That's right. On Halloween, we do get the monster. Inouye is the real deal, man. I mean, that was a tremendous performance against a very game Nonito Donaire. Long layoff. I'm interested to see how he, you know, if he's affected by the travel, you know, first time in the United States. And, you know, Maloney is one half of the, it's funny. It's two guys that come from fighting families. So, it's very interesting fight. Maloney came with a lot of hype, in the summer. His brother did and he really underwhelmed. Inouye now is the name on the marquee. And, he gets to show, what he's about to a larger scale of, audience, since it's on ESPN. So, very, very looking forward to this. It's a good DVR day.
Good DVR day. No doubt about that. Good day in the world of boxing. Of course, the UFC is going to roll tonight with the last fight of Anderson Silva. I don't know why Anderson is still fighting, but he's got to be like 95 years old going on 120, but the bottom line is the former middleweight champion of the UFC is going to rock tonight against Uriah Hall. Now, let's talk about the possible potential super fight in the future. The fight I was looking at this week was Manny Pacquiao and Teofimo Lopez. That's the fight I like. What do you think? At 140.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. You know, I don't know if Manny's in good graces or top rank, but you never let, you know, money get in the way of a friendship, right?
Yeah, well, Hector says that the Conor McGregor fight's an easier fight for Manny Pacquiao, but, you know, Conor's a big dude, and he's not going to get below 155, so I don't know if Manny Pacquiao wants to be rumbling even with him.
It'd probably be about the same as when he fought Jeff Horn. You know, a guy with limited skills who's probably just going to try to wear down Pacquiao. But obviously nowhere near the skills of Jeff Horn. It'd definitely be more money, you know, and less risk, and more pay-per-view buys and whatnot. You know, he's fighting a guy that's a superstar in his own right, and McGregor. So if I'm Pacquiao, I probably would lean towards a McGregor fight than Teofimo Lopez at this point. I'd stay away from Teofimo Lopez. Although Manny's never been shy of fighting the best.
So what about the gripe last week, Lomachenko? He was too big. His arms were too long. He hit too hard. I mean, I couldn't believe the guy was saying that. I mean, talk about a little BA, you know what?
I mean, when you're not used to losing, it's kind of hard, you know, and to digest that, you start looking for excuses. I mean, remember Deontay Wilder was picking off excuses from the trees?
The mask.
Yeah, the mask. We've seen that before. I remember Julio Cesar Chavez. He was very good at giving excuses on the times that he came up short, which, you know, very few times. But, you know, Lomachenko was the favorite. If they, you know, he fought a very competitive fight. He wasn't blown away. If they fight again, can he get better?
No.
No, I think he'll only be older. Yeah. So I think just either retire or get an immediate rematch, you know, or go back down and wait, which is an option for him as well.
Good point. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. After the break, we'll come back with some more time. Of course, with boxing's only PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, the kid from the Bronx, spend some more time with us on Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
A lot of fighters think about that. Why should I get up? Just let me stay where I'm at. Think Buster Douglas. Think Sonny Liston. They stay down. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Live from the East Coast, of course, the Boxing's only PAC, Socrates Palmer. Of course, big night of boxing night. DAZN's going to be rocking and rolling pretty soon. I guess DAZN's going to go right after the show, aren't they?
Yeah, the undercards have started, and I think the main event will probably happen in about another hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
Okay, David Hayes said that big fan Andy Ruiz ended up beating Anthony Joshua, and he did. Now he's saying Hayes picking the upset tonight with Chisora and Usyk. Is there any chance of an upset there?
Wow, that would be a real upset. I mean, Derek Chisora is a very tough fighter, but he's been on the wrong end of some bad wars, you know. I just don't think that he's going to have the gas tank to be able to do what it's going to take to beat Usyk. He's going to have to, rough him up and impose the fact that he is the natural heavyweight, but Usyk is a different beast, man. He's just a killer, you know. Aside from the fact that he's a brilliant fighter, I mean, he picked apart Tony Bellew and retired him, who is not a true heavyweight, you know. But I think he's just his skills, and he's a tall guy. I can't see Chisora going the distance. I see him either getting stopped or just not having enough to come out of, you know. And I can see him retiring in the stool. You know, I think it's a different beast that he's going to face tonight in Usyk. And David Hay, he works with Chisora. You know, sometimes it's funny. Derek Chisora sometimes does his best fighting in the press conference. You know, he's a wild dude. You know, maybe he's going to try to rough him up, be dirty. I think that's his only chance, and get Usyk to lose his cool. But Usyk has that, like if you were casting a serial killer, you know, he's got that look, man.
Charles Manson.
I think. The one fight that Tyson Fury should stay away from is Alexander Usyk.
Okay, I got a quick text here about WBO, a former WBO junior middleweight champion, Jaime Munguia, last night, now 36-0, 29 KOs, scored a 6-round TKO of a guy named Tyrone Johnson. I'm looking at pictures of Johnson. Now I see why these people are sending me texts here. The guy had his trunks up almost to his rib cage. In other words, I guess he was worried about body shots, but the bottom line is he didn't look like he was all that conditioned. Are we able to learn anything from Jaime Munguia having these work fights?
You know, it's funny, you know, it's, I guess, an indication of where we are with these watered down titles, that a guy who is a former world champion, you know, we're looking for him to have a step up fight, or, you know, but he looked good last night. I mean, the guy was tough, Johnson. He had a good corner, in Andre Rozier, very tough, older guy. He split his lip grotesque. I don't know if you got a chance to see the pictures, Pedro. It looked like someone took a cleaver to his mouth, man. It's horrible. And, you know, Munguia is going to be the type of guy that's going to be a good TV fighter. You know, a guy that's going to have a great chin. Overwhelm you with volume, and you know, but the guy's gonna fight. He's gonna be a fighter. You're not looking at the next coming of Sugar Ray Robinson, but he's only 25 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think he's gonna be a good, solid fighter. Is he on the Canelo Alvarez radar or level? Absolutely not. You know, but you know, I think he's a work in progress, and okay. I think he's gonna be a good fight fans fighter.
Are the Charlo brothers still a work in progress?
No.
Okay. Why didn't either of them call out Canelo a couple of weeks ago? What's the story about that? In other words, if there's a guy that's a $1 billion athlete in my own division or close to my division, why am I not calling him out?
I think the money is too good for them to not have to, you know, call out these big fights. You know, they're making good paydays.
They're making money fighting guys like you and me.
I guess so, man. I guess Heyman's taking care of them, you know, pretty good. They both talk a big game. I mean, you know, but you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, the time is now for them to call out Canelo or these other, you know, even Golovkin, you know, who's the other big name at 160. But then again, is Canelo a middleweight anymore? Does he want to fight at middleweight?
No, but he could make, they could make that at 68 without a doubt. Okay, Golden Boy has announced, of course, that Ryan Garcia, King Rye, call him what you want. Of course, we dogged him up the last couple of weeks because he got lit up by Raleigh Ramirez. taking on Luke Campbell. At Fantasy Springs, it's going to go down. I might, you know, if they have a live, I don't know. I'm sort of scared to go to live fights. I'd probably drive down for that one. But then again, I don't want to sit next to anybody. You know, it's sort of crazy right now because the virus thing is ready to take off. Anyway, let me go back to this fight card. Indio, California, December the 5th, it looks like. Yeah, December the 5th on the Zone. Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell. And, of course, the co-feature, Rene Alvarado, taking on Roger the Kid Gutierrez. Ryan Garcia. Define Ryan Garcia for me in your words.
Define Ryan Garcia. Charisma. You know, I think he's got a lot. You know, he's got in a if you were to ask the other his contemporaries, they wish they had his look and the other stuff that he has going around him outside of the ring. But in the ring, we don't know yet. He's tall for that weight class. He's got very fast hands. It looks like he could punch a little bit, but we don't know until he fights someone who's credible. And Luke Campbell is that credible fighter. If you compare him to Devin Haney's resume, this is going to be the best fighter that either of the two have faced. You know, and no disrespect to Gyorgyz Gamboa, who he's fighting in November, Devin Haney, but you know, this is not the Gamboa that burst on the scene 10 years ago. There's a guy that's, you know, way past his prime. So we're going to find out if Ryan Garcia is the real deal when he fights Campbell, who's a good fighter, former Olympian. And it's his time to shine. You know, if he stops Luke Campbell, then everyone's going to say, hey, you know what? This kid is more than just sizzle. He's got some steak.
Okay. Devin Haney says he's going to become the first billion-dollar fighter. I thought Jerry Cooney might have done that. But he said he was going to become the first billion-dollar fighter. That didn't happen, or it's not going to happen, I don't think. But the bottom line is, this guy's talking all kinds of, like, it's like he's already in boxing heaven. He's already been anointed a superstar, and in my mind, he hasn't done a whole lot yet.
He hasn't done a whole lot, and, you know, I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, you can talk all you want, but the proof is going to be in the pudding. You know, I saw Devin Haney close up sparring a friend of mine who's a little bit heavier, but I saw him get dropped, you know, in the seat of his pants. You know, he's got game. There's no doubt about it. He comes off a little repugnant at times, but, you know, he's going to have to eventually be able to cash those checks that he's writing with his mouth. And
you're trying to tell me he got dropped in the gym with the big gloves on?
Yes, he did. He got dropped in the Bronx at John's Boxing Gym on Jerome Avenue by Ismaelo Villarreal.
You know,
who's a junior middleweight, but you know,
yeah,
you know, he got dropped like you said with 16s.
Yeah. Well, I'll put it to you like this. I never got dropped in sparring. I never got hurt in sparring. I was there to learn in sparring. I wasn't there to get beat up or anything like that. And some guys, you know, they go in there, let's take a whole lot of shots. There was absolutely no need for that. Back to tonight's fights here. If you had to, pick a card, which card would you pick here?
If I have to give $80 to watch a fight, which one I'm watching?
You're not neither.
Probably watching Usyk. Okay. I mean, neither, but the one I'm looking forward to most is Alexander Usyk. I want to see him and the monster. I'd probably put Tank and Santa Cruz third.
Okay, so have you voted?
No, not yet. I'm old school. I can wait till November 3rd.
All right. All the best to you, man. Say hello to the agent and the wife. I love you guys all.
Okay, brother. Enjoy.
Socrates Ballmer on Sports Byline. brings me back to the disco days, the Daz Band. Remember, we're over in Concord, California, seeing them at the old Concord Pavilion. The only arena I ever went undefeated in. Never lost a fight in the Concord Pavilion. Went 3-0. One knockout, 3-0. Won two titles there, though. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. And I got to have the same dressing room as Natalie Cole. And then when Natalie played there in like around, I guess about 1999, 2000, somewhere around there, maybe 10 years ago before she died. Lenny Williams introduced me to her once again. I said, you remember me? I said, I introduced you. Oh, yeah. Because we had some time together when she was doing that, that reunion tour. Of course, I'm talking about her and her father, the Unforgetting tour. Man, she was an amazing lady. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Enough Natalie Cole. Of course, tonight, MMA happening, of course, on ESPN. Uriah Hall. Who is he? He's sort of like a Jamaican street fighter. 36 years old, a record of 15-9. Never really hasn't done a whole lot. Sort of like a journeyman type of guy. Taking on a man that's been around a long time. He's 45 years old. I'm talking about Anderson Silva, 45 years old, 34-10 as a pro, of course. When I last saw him, he was at the Oakland Coliseum in 2008, almost lost his title to Chael Sonnen, who was a bit of a journeyman himself, but he, I think, was down four rounds of zip to Chael and came in the fifth round and stopped Chael in the fifth round, of course, retained the world middleweight championship. But from that point forward, you know, you realize that he was just getting old and getting older and older and older. And MMA fighters, I mean, the damage that they take, I'm not talking about, this is not tennis, this is not golf. The damage they take, getting kicked in the head, you know, the elbows, the forearms, that kind of good stuff. You get knees, flying knees, oh my God. All that kind of good stuff. The residual effects, we still don't know what they're going to be like. We just don't. And I think that in 10 or 15 years from now, I think we'll know a little bit more. But I think you're starting to see guys now in the gym and girls in the gym from the world of MMA that are a little bit punchy, a little bit punch drunk. And the reason being, combat sports, that's what it brings it on. That's why you should get hit as little as possible. In the gym, those guys never used to hit me. Never. Andy Nance, none of you clowns never used to hit me. None of you guys. Eric Martin used to hit me with that jab. I couldn't get away from Eric's jab. But outside of that, none of those guys ever hit me. Okay? I wasn't there to get hit in the gym. No, I wasn't there to get beat up. No way, no how. You want to beat me up? Beat me up, get me in a fight. But I'm not going to get beat up in the gym. And unfortunately for Silva, I watched some tapes of him a few weeks ago working out, and he was just working out like, you know, half-ass, like maybe at 35 miles an hour. And he was getting lit up at 35 miles per hour. So I can't imagine if they crank it up to 50, Uriah Hall can crank it up to 50 miles per hour, that Anderson Silva can hold up. But he's a 3-1 underdog as they enter this fight tonight. Of course, ESPN Plus is what it's on. Bryce Mitchell's in the co-main event against Andre Feely. I don't know what they're about. Their featherweight's 145. As far as the rest of the card is concerned, I don't see anybody outside of Greg Hardy that I recognize, and he's the greatest fighter in the world. He's taking on Maurice Green. That's a heavyweight matchup. Kevin Holland's on the card. Outside of that, not a whole lot. ESPN Plus, check out your exact times for that. Now, last week, of course, the World Lightweight Championship in action. Man, he's the real deal. I don't like the way he fights. I personally don't dig it. My best friend Hector says, you know, that skill and that kind of good stuff. And I never thought that laying on top of a guy and rolling around and doing that kind of good stuff and imposing your will by having him support your body, which weighs 15 or 20 pounds more than the guy on the bottom. I'm talking about Justin Gaethje. I never thought that, you know, that's really that big of a thing. I don't like the fact that Khabib can enter the octagon, and they sponsor this, like at 180 pounds. If you're a 155-pounder, guess what? You shouldn't be able to fight for more at more. If you weigh in at 155, you should not be able to fight at more than 165 pounds at the most. At the most. I mean, should you really be able to put on 10 pounds after a weigh-in? I never put on 10 pounds after a weigh-in. Anyway, Khabib and Justin Gaethje, of course, they went at it for the lightweight championship. Justin Gaethje being the interim champion, Khabib being the champion. Of course, they went at it five rounds or less. This fight ended in the second round, a minute and 34 seconds in, and Khabib obviously is still the world lightweight champion.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Jason Herzog has called a stop to this contest at 1 minute, 34 seconds of round number two. Declaring the winner by technical submission due to a triangle choke and still undefeated and the UFC undisputed lightweight champion of the world, Khabib the Eagle Nurmagomedov.
And now, without question, the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world, 29-0, Khabib Nurmagomedov. The world is in awe of your greatness once again. I will give you as much time to gather your emotions, but I see your corner men taking the gloves off. Your thoughts on an epic championship performance tonight. Congratulations.
Alhamdulillah. Yo subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. God give me everything. Thank you for these guys with me, and with my father more than 20 years. All my team, aka with Coach Hav, I love him so much. All my team. Oh, thank you. Today, I want to say, it was my last fight. And no way I'm going to come here without my father. It was first time when, after what happened with my father, when UFC called me about Justin, I talked with my father, my mother, 3 days. She don't want to go fight without father, but I promise her, it's going to be my last fight. And if I give my word, I have to follow this. It was my last fight here. I know only one thing, what I want from UFC Tuesday. You guys have to put me on number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world because I deserve this. And UFC undisputed UFC lightweight champion, 13-0. 13 in UFC, 29 in all my pro MMA career, you know. Oh, I think I deserve it. And one more thing. I want to say thank you, Lorenzo, Fertitta. Thank you, Dana, Hunter, all guys. Thank you so much. And, of course, I don't forget about Joe Silva, who signed me here in UFC. Joe Silva, thank you. All this UFC team, everybody around the world, this all pandemic stuff they're doing. Great show, you know. Thank you so much, Justin. Justin, 2016, I remember when I cut weight, you helped me a lot. Thank you, brother. This is fight without cage. I know you're great, man. I know how you take care of your close people. I know a lot of things about you. Be close with your parents because one day it's going to happen something because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. You never know. And thank you, guys. Thank you, coach. I love you so much. My teammates, Ali Abdulaziz, Rizwan. Oh, alhamdulillah. Today is my last fight here in the UFC.
So as you put the gloves down, you do so as the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. You go out the way you wanted to as the undisputed UFC lightweight champion. How hard was this week for you overall?
It was my father's dream. What else? Dustin and Conor gonna fight January. I choke him out, both of them. I'm not interested for this. I'm not interested for this.
You have left an indelible imprint on this sport, and we congratulate you as you walk away 29-0. There's only one Khabib Nurmagomedov. We wish you a safe trip home, and we look forward to your UFC Hall of Fame induction in a few years. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. DC, I love you, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, the undisputed UFC lightweight champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Give him his props, 29-0, 39-0, 59-0. He's never lost a round, not even in the gym, I'm told. I mean, I lost rounds in the gym. I'm not trying to say where I was earlier talking about being a good gym fighter. I was a better gym fighter than I think I was a ring fighter, and I won 4 Golden Glove championships, so I must have been. I didn't get hurt in the ring. I didn't get hurt in the gym. A lot of guys got hurt in the gym. A lot of guys, you know, injuries, broken ribs and hand problems and maybe noses and things like that. I never got hurt, not once in the gym. Never got dropped in the gym. Got dropped in fights, but never got dropped in the gym. So, the gym was a lot easier for me. A lot less stressful for me than the fights. The gym was like a fraternity, like a country club after school or after work, but the ring was a little bit different. October 30th, 1974, of course. Muhammad Ali, an 8-1 underdog, Rumble in the Jungle, takes out George Foreman in the 8th round. George was shocked. I'll never forget what George told me about 10 years later. He goes, you know, I've never, ever, 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 ever thought I could lose to Muhammad Ali. It was never entered my mind. Yeah, he lost. Anyway, October 30th, 1982, Marvin Hagler stops Fully Obel. They fight like 10 times, and every 5th round returned the world middleweight championship. Nah, that wasn't that big of a fight, but obviously it was Marvin Hagler's one of his championship defenses. October 31st, 1941, Sugar Ray Robinson, winner 10 rounds of guess who? Fritzy Zivic. Of course, that was in New York City, I think at the Garden. The bottom line is fantastic night of boxing, of course, in New York City, 10-31-41. Halloween night, man. Showtime, London, Larry Merchant, can I recall much of another station? Anyway, Lennox Lewis KO Donovan Razor Ruddock in 2 rounds. Well, guess what, Bill? You forgot to put the date on here. If you're a historian, you've got to put the date and the year on your bill. You can't put "I forgot." That doesn't work, okay? So I'm dogging my historian on the air here. Sorry, pal, but you deserve it. Don't send me incomplete stuff. On the undercard, Chris Santos España, TKO8, Melder Taylor to take the WBA welterweight title. Of course, Melder Taylor, my buddy from the 84 Olympic team, man. He was a nice little kid. He was a kid. He was like 17, 18 years old when I saw him in the Olympic trials and the Olympic training camp in Colorado Springs. He was like, just a nice little kid, 125 pounds, and just out of Philadelphia, brash, had that Philadelphia gym mentality. In other words, if you can hit me, I can hit you harder, and I could take your harder punch, and you could take and all that kind of good stuff. So he wasn't afraid to rumble back and forth. But, you know, he had that fight with Julio Cesar Chavez, entered that fight undefeated. And, of course, after 11 rounds, he was up on the scorecard. In the 12th round, he decided to be the Philadelphia type of fighter that he is and slug it out with Chavez in the 12th round when he probably had the fight in the bag. I thought he had the fight in the bag. Anyway, in the 12th round, Chavez catches him with an incredible left hook and just bam, boom, right hands. I mean, Mr. Taylor is down. He gets up. He looks at his corner because when you get down, knocked down, they always tell you in boxing, look to your corner for advice. So you always look to your corner when you're in trouble. And then you're all rumbling this and that. You look at your corner. So he looks over at his corner and Lou Duva, big old fat Lou Duva, you know, the guy looks like Fred Flintstone, but with white hair. He's standing up on the ring apron and he's jumping up and down and doing jumping jacks and all that kind of good stuff. And he's got Meldrick's attention. Well, referee Richard Steele's got his back to that. He doesn't see what's going on. He can't tell that Lou Duva's on the ring apron up there in the corner making all kinds of noise and moving his hands all over the place. That's what Meldrick is looking at. So when Richard Steele looked at Melder Taylor and said, are you okay once? Are you okay twice? I think he might even ask him 2.5 times. But the bottom line is Mel didn't recognize him because of the fact he was looking at his corner in Lou Duva. So when you talk about the controversy of the Chavez-Melder Taylor fight from 1990, please, the controversy wasn't there. The controversy was the fact that Lou Duva blew it in the corner. Because he had not blown it on the corner. I mean, I think that Richard Steele would have given Meldrick the 8 count. The round would have ended. And then Meldrick would have won a very close decision. That's the way it looked on the scorecards. The way it turned out, of course, it ended Meldrick Taylor's career. He went to the hospital that night. I'll never forget the look on Pernell Whitaker's face at the press conference. Pernell was all coked out, but he was like scared. He was scared. He couldn't believe it. He goes, Mel's in the hospital, man. Mel's in the hospital. And he was freaking out. I mean, he was freaking out. Meldrick Taylor was all beat up. Of course, Meldrick Taylor would never be the same. He would fight Chavez again and lose, but... You know, it wasn't the Meldrick Taylor that entered that ring in March of 1990. I mean, the kid that entered that ring that night was probably, I don't want to say undamaged goods, but he was pretty clean. But after 11 rounds with Chavez, the body shots, the head shots, the elbows, the forearms, you name it, Julio dishes out an ass whooping you never believe in. And the ass whooping from Julio, you end up feeling like 4, 5, 6 days a week later. So what I'm trying to tell you is that Meldrick did his best that night, but Meldrick Taylor, sad that he can't really talk too much now. In fact, he signs his name Mel. Real easy. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Goode, who never ever learned to read or write so well, but he could play a guitar just like a ring in a bell. Go, go!
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Something new from the Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. They got a new album out called On the Soul Side of Town. It is happening. Believe me, it is happening. The best Tower of Power album in a long time. Not that they didn't put out great studio albums, but they haven't put out a studio album, I think, since 2008. So this is a good addition to the Tower of Power catalog, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. You know, I dog my historian Billo, Grandmaster Billo, before the break, but he's one of the greatest guys, and he's made such a comeback in life that when I dog him here on the air, it's all in good fun. Believe me, I love him dearly. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We are just minutes away, of course, a card on DAZN as I speak. I'm talking about Oleg Usyk and Derek Chisora hooking it up in a heavyweight contest. Chisora, a 7-1 underdog. We'll see how that goes for Mr. Chisora, but he talks a good game. Oleg Usyk to Charles Manson of the heavyweight division, ascending from that 200-pound division, the cruiserweight division. We'll see what he has at heavyweight. Chisora's a bit of a test, but not a real major test. And, of course, man, the big fight. Is it a big fight? I'm talking about Gervonta Davis, 23-0, 22 knockouts, of course, a 135-pounder of note, no doubt about that. He wants to make a name at 135. Tonight he gets his chance to take on Leo Santa Cruz, who's the guy coming up from 130 pounds. So they both weighed in at 130 pounds or under 130, like 129.6, something like that. Anyway, both guys made the limit. Tank Davis made the limit. In fact, for the first time in my life, I've ever seen that guy starving. I mean, he's always one of those guys that shows up to the weigh-in looking chubby and not prepared and sort of thick and this and that. Not this time. It appears that he has his act together tonight. Gervonta Davis, a 6-1 favorite over Leo Santa Cruz. Now, of course, the UFC main event. Let's wish Anderson Silva all the best and hopes that he doesn't get hurt and that Uriah Hall just sends him off into his UFC retirement in one piece. Outside of that, the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide is forthcoming next year on Sports Byline. Of course, I'm talking about Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 211, the American Forces Network, iTunes, Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com. I keep going and going, but the bottom line is you get it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check us out on your favorite stations week in and week out, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Don't forget tomorrow, the Godfather, Larry Merchant, will be in the house tomorrow, 11 a.m. Pacific time, Ring Talk Live Worldwide Sunday.